have a double portion tonight of God's Spirit. I promise you, the rest of you won't get it. God's not going to run you down and chase you down and pour it on you. The only ones that will get it will be those that want it. For in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2 from a scripture reading this evening, and the ninth verse of scripture, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9. Second Kings chapter 2 and verse 9 from a scripture reading. I want you to follow me here because I'm going to tell you how Elisha received a double portion of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, now how do you know that Elisha received a double portion of the Holy Ghost? Well, it's very simple. If you read the Word of God, you'll find that he received a double portion. Elijah did 7 mighty miracles in his day. The last miracle that Elijah did was the first miracle Elisha did. Elisha performed 13 mighty miracles in his day. You say, aha, there wasn't 14 miracles performed by him, mighty miracles, so therefore he didn't receive a double portion. I beg your pardon, after he was dead, his bones had already, the flesh had done fell off of him, and there wasn't anything but old raw bones laying there in that hewed out sepulchre. And the children of Israel was taking a man out to bury him. And they saw the Philistines coming with a host to make war upon Israel. They stopped the funeral procession. Now the first sepulchre they came to was Elisha's. They throw the dead man in the sepulchre. He landed on the bones of Elisha, and there was still enough power of God in the bones of Elisha that the dead man jumped up and took off running. Also, God restored him back to life, thus giving Elisha 14 mighty miracles, a double portion of God's Spirit. Did you know that's in the Word? Sure, it's in the Word. So if you want a double portion, you can receive it. Now, I don't think God's recipe has changed. I think the way that folk used to receive from God is still the way folk receive from God. I don't think God's got any Walmart discount bargain tables. I don't believe he has an Anthony. What kind of shop was that down there that just opened up? Bargain budget. God don't have any Anthony budget. God doesn't have any surplus stores or bargain counters. What it took to receive from God years ago, it still takes to receive from God today. You believe that? Do you believe that this evening? All right, if I can tell you how to do it, then that means that you can receive the same thing Elisha received. Am I right? All right. I want you to agree with me before I go on, because it'll do me no good to preach this unless you believe what I'm preaching. In the book of 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, and it came to pass, talking about Elisha and Elijah, Elijah's about to be raptured. Elisha's with him. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, notice the next verse. And he said, Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. He didn't say, you've asked an impossible thing. He didn't say, you've asked something that's not available for you. I'm the only one that can have it. He didn't say that. He said, but you've asked a hard thing. I want you to know, if you want to receive the best that God has, it's going to cost you yourself. You have asked a hard thing, but it's not impossible. He said, nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. When he'd done that, he said, there is no sufficiency, there is no good works, there is no good deeds, there is nothing in me that would merit the blessings of God. I'm getting rid of all my covering, that you can cover me with your divine blessings, O God. Amen. That's what he said. He didn't say it in those words, but that's what he said when he rent his clothes in two. He got rid of everything. He said, man, there isn't anything that I'm going to hold back from you. I'm giving it to you. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and the mantle is a type of the baptism in the Holy Ghost, if you please. And he took the Holy Ghost of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the Holy Ghost of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophet, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. I want to preach tonight on how Elisha received a double portion of the Holy Ghost, and how you may also receive a double portion of the Holy Ghost in your heart and in your life. I want one more time to see the hands of everybody that really wants a double portion of God's Spirit on your life tonight. Glory. Almost 100% that time. I'm going to take you back to the book of 1 Kings and the 19th chapter, and I'm going to tell you the story of that transpired up to the reading of my scripture this evening. First of all, old Elijah had come thundering out of the wilderness. He had come preaching to King Ahab. He had commanded there be no rain in the heavens or come from the heavens for 3.5 years. And then he prayed, and he prayed that it rained, and it rained. And then he challenged 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And when fire fell from God above, no fire fell from the heathen gods. But when Elijah prayed 64 little words, fire fell from heaven, consumed the offering cut up. And then Elijah had killed all of the 450 prophets of Baal. And Jezebel heard about it. Jezebel said, I'm going to do that to him tomorrow. And so old Elijah began to run. He come to rest under a juniper tree. And he's got under the juniper tree, and he said, God, you might as well kill me, because my fathers and everybody else has tried to lead this bunch to you, and they have rebelled against you, and I'm the only one left that's living for God. But God said to Elijah, I want you to know I've still got 7,000 that have not bowed to the world, that have not bowed to the socialism of the day. They're still living for me. I want you to know today, saints of God, there are still people out that are living, dedicated, committed, holy lives unto God Almighty. Amen. And so he said, now Elisha, God told Elisha, he baked him a cake and all that. You know the story, but he said, Elisha, I said, you're almost finished. Your ministry is almost over. I want you to go and anoint this one king, anoint this one a king, and I want you to go and anoint Elisha as prophet in your stead. And so old Elijah, he went to old Elisha, and he found him plowing with a yoke of oxen. And when he saw him plowing out in western Oklahoma with a yoke of oxen, old Elijah, the first thing he done was he throwed his mantle on him, which typified him as a man of God, full of God, called of God. I want you to know something. If you're full of the Holy Ghost this evening, you're called of God, you're set apart by God, you're anointed by God, and brother, the world knows that you're different from what they are. Throw that on old Elisha, and I want you to notice what old Elisha did. Old Elisha jumped at him. He throwed the reins down. You just hang with me, son. He throwed the reins down on that old yoke of oxen, and he went running to Elijah, and he said, if you go and kiss my mama and kiss my daddy, I'll come and follow after you. And so old Elisha went. He kissed his mother. He kissed his dad, and he came back. He killed the oxen that he was plowing with, and he built a fire out of the wood, a plow that he had, and he offered the oxen up as a sacrifice to God. And I've always wondered, why did Elisha go kiss his mama? Why did he go kiss his daddy? Why did he offer up the oxen as a sacrifice? And I believe I've got the answer. He was saying, I'm not going to let mama stop me. I'm not going to let family ties stop me. I'm not going to let financial stop me. I'm not going to let anything stop me. If I'm going to live for God, I'm going to do it all the way. And God is still looking to throw His mantle of the Holy Ghost upon some people and to say, God, I'm going to sell out my everything. I'm going to sell my all to you. I'm not going to let the social system of the world. I'm not going to let mama. I'm not going to let daddy. I'm not going to let my background of being raised in a nominal church stop me. If you've got something more for me, I'm going to go after it, God, and I'm going to dig in, and I'm going to stay until I receive it from you. Woo! Now you stay with me, son. Just as close behind me as you can stay without stepping on me. You'll remember an illustration a whole lot longer than you will me just preaching something. Amen. And for 8 years, from the book of 1 Kings chapter 19 up to the book of 2 Kings chapter 2, there is 8 years that has elapsed. And for 8 years, every step that Elijah took, there was old Elisha. I mean, every time Elijah turned around, there was staring him in the face. He couldn't get away from him. For 8 years, Elisha walked after Elijah. He saw Elijah perform the miracles of God. He saw the power and the Spirit of God that was on old Elijah's life. And as he followed him, there began to be a hunger. There began to be a thirsting. There began to be a gnawing in his heart. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it also. Glory to God. 8 years now he walked after old Elijah. 8 years he hungered. 8 years he thirsted after what old Elijah had. Haven't we done the same thing? How many times have you pulled this good book out and you've watched the early church? You've seen how they took beds and laid them out by old Peter's shadow. And when Peter's shadow fell upon them, they were healed. How many of you have read the story of Acts chapter 3 where Peter takes the lame man at the gate beautiful and says, gold and silver none have I, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man's ankles receive strength, and he goes leaping and praising God. How many of you have read where Paul anointed handkerchief? You say, yeah, but that was preachers. That was preachers. Elijah, Philip wasn't a preacher. Stephen wasn't a preacher. And the glory of God rested upon them. Brother, the glory of God can rest upon your heart and your life tonight. It can rest on you. How many times have we read how these miracles were done by the early church? And have you ever longed for it? Have you ever hungered for that power? I've read Mark chapter 16, verse 17, so many times that it even marvels me. And it says, "In these times shall follow them that believe." It didn't say these signs shall follow the preacher. Let's get that straight tonight before we go any further. Brother, God wants to give you as much as He's ever given any minister that's ever been called to proclaim this word. God wants to give you that anointing and that power in your life. You believe that? How many believe that tonight? Glory to God. And we've read it over and over. And we've longed for it. And we don't have it. Has God changed? Come on, has God changed? Hebrews 13:8 said, "Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever." Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, and I change not." What God used to give the church, what God gave Elisha, He is still giving to those that will sell out and meet the requirements that Elisha met for the power of God in their lives. Sit down right there. Don't leave me yet. Amen. Now, I want you to notice the scripture I read tonight in verse 9. And verse 9, Elisha asked for it. And verse 13, verse 14, he received it. How can I receive a double portion from God? How can I have more than I got now? How can I have the power of God? Now, I'm not talking about power of God to use for your own vainglory. I'm talking about power of God to be used to edify His body, to lift up His church, to lift up His people. There should be enough power in this church that there's nobody should have to run after Oral Roberts or any of these other dudes across the country. There should be enough power of God in this body of people. There should be some of you that are so committed to God that when people walk through the door, you can sense the need in their heart. You can sense the desire of the soul. And the church should together bind together and minister to the need of the people. I lost some of you that time. Hello. Amen. How did Elisha receive it? How did he receive it? You want to know how he received it and how you can receive it? First of all, I want you to know it became the chief desire of his heart. Verse 9, Elijah said, "What in the world do you want, boy? You're just bugging me to death. What do you want?" He could have said, "I want 160 acres of rich bottom land because I'm not satisfied with what my daddy's got. I want a limousine. I want a chariot. Man, I want a Palomino horses to pull it." But that wasn't the desire of his heart. The desire of his heart was, I want a double portion of the Spirit that rests upon you. I want twice as much of God living in me as you've got living in your heart and your life. You cannot find God in His fullness until you seek Him with all that's within you. Amen. What's wrong with so many of us is that we come down and we play a little nanny-panty prayer. Man, we are down, we're up, and we're gone before anybody can do anything at all. God's got to hit us in the head with it on the way home. But God's not going to do that. He wants to see a hungry heart. He wants to see someone that don't care if they get any sleep tonight. They don't care if they don't even get to work tomorrow. They don't care if they don't get to eat for the next week. I'm here, God. I'm here. And my desire is, I'm not for earthly wealth. I'm not for wealth. was a man in Poto. We preached a camp meeting. Elderly gentleman. And in one of the morning services, and ordinarily the thing runs just like clockwork. My brother Swaim had it. And he stood up one morning in the service and he says, "I know you folk don't take time to take testimony, but," he said, "I've just got to tell you what God done for me." He said, "When Pentecost first broke out around the turn of the century," he said, "they started some old Brush Harbor meetings." And said, "My wife and daughters began to go to these old Brush Harbors." And he said, "I would go and sit outside on the wagon and mock them and make fun of the way they acted." And he said, "My wife, my daughters all got saved and all got that funny experience of the Holy Ghost." And he said, "I was sitting on the wagon one night and I just a little bit too close to the Brush Harbor." And he said, "God got a hold of me." And said, "When he got a hold of me, I couldn't resist the drawing of the Spirit." He said, "I found myself on my knees in the sawdust around that old-fashioned altar." They didn't call it an altar then. It was a mourner's bench. We've modernized it. It's an altar now. But my God, we need to get back to the mourner's bench again. Amen! And he said, "The preacher preached every night. You got to get the Holy Ghost." Now, I can remember, no older than I am, I can remember when a preacher used to take off on John 3:16, and he'd always wind up on, "You got to have the Holy Ghost." How many is as old as I am tonight and can remember that? Well, there's three or four of us that can. Amen. Every time the preacher would preach, he'd preach, "You got to have the Holy Ghost." How they used to preach it a necessity, and now we make it an option, like an air conditioner on the car, automatic or a manual shifting. Brother, it's not an option. It's not whether you want to or whether you don't want to. You've been commanded to be filled with the power of God's Holy Ghost in your life. I've lost some of you already. Hang with me. We'll be through in 30 minutes. And he said, every night the preacher would preach, "You got to have the Holy Ghost." And he said, "Every night I'd seek the Holy Ghost." Every night, he said, "I'd go to that altar and I'd seek the Holy Ghost for hours." And he said, "I never did get the Holy Ghost." And the revival went for 6 weeks. And said, "I never did get the baptism in the Holy Ghost." How about, he said, one morning after the revival had closed, he said, "I was out in the lot," and he said, "I was milking old Betsy." Said, "Man, all of a sudden, I felt, I've got to have the Holy Ghost, I'm going to die. I've got to have the Holy Ghost, I'm going to die." He said, "I got up and took the hobblers off old Betsy." And if some of you ladies are named Betsy, I didn't call you a cow. I said, "I got up and I took the hobblers off old Betsy." And said, "I went in and rolled a bale of hay off the hayloft." And said, "I got down at the foot of that bale of hay. And I began to pray, 'Oh God, give me the Holy Ghost. I've got to have the Holy Ghost. I've got to have the Holy Ghost. I've got to have the Holy Ghost.'" He said, "I prayed for hours and I still didn't get the Holy Ghost." You know now, if we pray 5 minutes, don't get the Holy Ghost, how we go. Most of us want to refill in at a double portion. But if you don't do it in 5 minutes, honey, you better catch me on the way home. He said, "I went to the house." And he said, "My wife wasn't around the house." And he said, again, he said, "I felt that urgency. I've got to have the Holy Ghost." He said, "I got down by the living room couch." And he said, "Oh, God, if I'm not low enough," he said, "I'll crawl under the house." And he said, "The house wasn't over that high off the ground." He said, "But oh God, if I'm not low enough, I'll crawl under the house, but I've got to have the blessing of the Holy Ghost." He said, "I thought I was dying." He said, "I thought I was dying. He said, "Sure enough, I died. I died to the world. I died to flesh. I died to all the activity around me." And he said, "I arose. I'm talking in a heavenly language. I feel the power of God." I said, "It's God. filled you with the Holy Ghost. Young boy in Cordell, Oklahoma, deacon's son. This little boy was there in a 3-week revival. This little boy liked to worry me to death. He is 12, 13 years old. He'd come to the altar every night and seek the Holy Ghost. And his daddy always gave him a dime that after the service was over with, everybody in the church almost would go to the Red Barn and drink a Coke. That's when you could buy a Coke for a dime. And this little boy would come up there and he'd pray and get so close and then he'd stop. And he'd get up, go back to his seat. And I got so sick and tired of messing with that boy. I got sick and tired of praying with him. He was wearing me out. And I got down there one night and I screamed in his ear, just as loud as I could, I'm not going to do it. Give everything to God, son. Give everything to God. He stopped, looked up at me, reached in his pocket, got a dime, put it in one of the men's hand. He said, go put that in the offering plate, would you? Bowed his head, and in less than 5 minutes, went through to the baptism in the Holy Ghost, speaking in a heavenly language. Come on! Come on, saints of God! Listen to what the Word of God has to say in the book of Jeremiah 29 and 13. And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. Deuteronomy 4 and 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, thou shalt find him. If ye shall search for him with all of your heart. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed is he that hunger and thirsteth after righteousness, for he shall be filled. If you want a double portion, brother, everything else has got to become a secondary, and it's got to be your chief desire this evening. You with me? Glory to God. It's got to become the thing that possesses you more than anything. It's got to possess your soul. It's got to possess everything. Your waking moments, your ever waking moment has got to be eat by the thought, I want a double portion of God. I want a double portion of His Spirit in my heart and my life. Amen. The second thing that happened to him is that he wasn't a bashful and he wasn't afraid to ask. You know, most of us come to the altar and when we do, we're like this. Not making fun, just telling facts. We won't open our mouth. We won't open our mouth. We won't lift our hands. If we do, it's like this. We act like we're afraid God's going to hit them. Come on. Elijah said, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? He said, I want a double portion of God's Spirit that's upon you to rest upon me, to rest in my heart, to rest in my life. I want twice as much as you've got. Get up here. I want twice as much as you've got. Now, there comes a time in your life, friend. You listen to me. There comes a time in your life that you've got to get a hold of God and refuse to let go of God until you get what you want from God. I had a massive heart attack in 77. Every time I get up to preach, excruciating pain in my chest, and I would wind up talking to the people just like I'm talking to you now. I'd done that Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I'd done that Wednesday night. And I told the wife, I'm locking myself up. And it works in every realm of your life. I said, let no one disturb me. I'm not coming out. I'll either die or be healed in that room. You had any heart problems since then? Yes, I had a heart attack about 6 months ago. But I'm healed. The devil cannot give me back what God took away from me in 1977. wife begged me to go to the hospital when they carried me home from the church this Sunday night. And I said, honey, I'll either die here or I'm healed. I said, I'm not confessing this heart attack. He said, no, you got the positive confession. No, I ain't. I'm just standing upon what God's already done. 1977, I locked myself in the office Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. There was a smoke that filled the room. I had begged God for 3 days to heal me. And I quit begging and just began to thank Him. And a holy smoke settled in the room. And I lay there in it with my mouth shut for probably an hour. Smoke lifted. I got up, went to the parsonage. Next morning I hit the pulpit running. And I've been running from that day to this day. Because I made my mind up I was going to get something from God. You want anything from God, you've got to make your mind up. You're going to hang tight till you get it. If there is any wavering in you at all, you'll not receive it. There comes a time when you've got to get a hold of God, son. And you've got to hold on and not let go. Not let go. Amen. Genesis 32:24 is a prime example of that. Old Jacob was left alone when he started back to Israel. His brother Esau was coming after him. Amen. And old Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled with him an angel till the breaking of day. And that angel, if you'll study it, was none less than Jesus Christ Himself. Amen. The angel and Jacob wrestled until it almost got daylight. And the angel said, let me go. He said, not till you bless me. And the Bible says the angel hit his thigh and knocked it completely out of joint. And I can just see old Jacob, that angel dragging him around. He got that old hip out of joint. Angel said, let me go. He said, no, sir, you're not going to get away from me until I get what I want from you. And saints of God, there comes a time when you've got to make up your mind, hey, I'm hungry, and I'm not going to let you go, God, until I receive what I desire in my heart from you. Come on, I've lost you now because most of us aren't willing to pay that price. Amen. And finally the angel said, what is your name? He said, it's Jacob. He said, no longer shall it be Jacob, but your name shall be Israel, because thou hast prevailed with the Lord. Amen. He hung on until he got what he wanted from God. And you can do it tonight. I can do it tonight. Anybody that wants it can do it tonight. And then most of us notice now how he received it. Brother Martin, let me see your coat. I'd rather do your coat this way than mine. But now I want you to notice with me, you know, today most of us Pentecostals are so modern, so afraid we're going to shout, so afraid we're going to run, so afraid we're going to do something unseemingly. Let me tell you, first of all, the Holy Ghost is a perfect gentleman and He'll never embarrass anybody. Never! Amen. And old Elisha and Elijah walked on together. Now, son, I want you to catch this thing in just a minute. This is a mandal. This is the Holy Ghost I'm fixing to throw. They walked on and they talked together. Elijah said, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so unto thee. And they too walked on, they talked, and all of a sudden there appeared chariots of fire, horses of the fire, and it parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And the first thing he dropped was his mantle. The next thing that happened is that he tore his own clothes off and put it on. What's wrong with us Pentecostals today if we say, well, it's a little big? We want to take it up there. It don't exactly feel right there. This is what we do try to do with the Holy Ghost. We try to cut Him down to our measure, to our standard, what we want. Hey, man, he says, well, it's a little big over here. We better hold that. And it's a little large down here, so we're going to hold that. We try to cut it down to fit us the measure and to fit us our standard and the way we want to receive it. Holy Elijah said, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it makes me do. I just want it. 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 And he slipped it on. And brother went back and done the miracle work of God Almighty. God wants to give it tonight. God wants you to reach up, grab it, and take it, and slip it on. Because it's here. And it's yours tonight. Take it off. See, God wants to give it to you. God wants to give it to you. God wants to give you a double portion. But it's got to become your chief desire. It's got to become something you want worse than you want the next breath you breathe. You've got to be willing to come and say, hey, God, I'm not bashful. I'm not afraid. I want you to give me a double portion of your spirit, Brother Ogden. I don't think that you ought to come boldly to the throne of God. Hebrews said, let us therefore come boldly up to the throne of grace and let our petitions be made known. Come on, if you want something from God tonight, I mean, get up and take your stand and say, God, I want to receive this from you tonight. Amen. It's yours. And it's up to you to receive it. Do you want it? Everybody that does not have the Holy Ghost, please stand to your feet. Come on. Everybody that does not have the Holy Ghost, musicians are coming. Everybody that does not have the Holy Ghost, please stand to your feet. Does everybody here have the Holy Ghost? 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 Amen. Those that would say, Brother Ogden, I want a double portion of God's Spirit tonight, and I'm going to receive it by the grace of God. I'm going to receive it. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Come on. You want it. I'm willing to pay the price. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let God's waves of glory flow. Amen. I want you to lift your hands. I want you to begin to walk to this altar right now. And I want you to walk and I want you to tell God as you're walking, God, I want a double portion of your spirit. Then I want you to just begin to praise Him. Come on. Come on, walking towards this altar front right now. God, I want a double portion of your spirit. I want a double portion of your spirit. And oh God, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to let go. I'm willing this evening to give my body as a vessel to be filled with your glory. Oh, Shanda Babariata. Glory to God. Then begin to praise Him. I 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 begin to praise Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. I want a double portion. I want a double portion. Glory. I want a double portion. I want a double portion. I want a double portion. Come on, church. Come on. Come on, young people. I want a double portion. I want Muriyan Narabasha. Him! Praise Him! Praise Him! Praise Him! Praise Him! Praise Him! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Let go! Hallelujah! Let go! Let go! Let go! Let go! Let go! Let go! And let God! Let go! And let God! Oh, shandarababahata! Oh, 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 God! Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! Mandarababahata! Let go! Let God! Let God! Let God! Let God! Murian Shandarabayata Mandarabashata. Oh, yes, let go. Let God. Let God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Mandarabashandarabah. Oh, let go. Let go. Let God. Praise Him. Praise Him. Come on. Come on, come on, hallelujah, here I am, 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 ma-da-da-da-da-da-ba-sha-ta. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, church, come on, church, come on, He's here, He's here, He's here, he la da ba sha da 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 ba 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 ha ta. Come on, God, I'm your vessel. I'm your vessel. I'm your vessel. I'm your vessel.